Well, good morning and welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church. We thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you'd please grab your hymnal and stand, let's turn to hymn number 245. If you'd please grab your hymnal and stand, we're going to turn to hymn number 245. Let's sing it out, In God's Green Pastures Feeding. In God's green pastures feeding by His cool waters lie, soft in the evening walk the Lord and I. All the sheep of His pasture so wondrously fine, His sheep am I. Waters cool, pastures green, in the evening walk the Lord and I. Darkness night, rough the way, step by step, my Lord and I. All right, who's never heard that song before? It is a beautiful song talking about walking with the Lord. Let's sing it again on the first. In God's green pastures, feeding in His cool waters lie, soft in the evening walk the Lord and I. All the sheep of His pasture fare so wondrously fine, His sheep am I. Waters cool, pastures green, in the evening walk the Lord and I. Dark the night, rough the way, step by step, my Lord and I. Amen. Thank you for singing.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Trust you've had a good morning already, and we're here ready to worship our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look around, I see some visitors with us this morning, and we're so thankful to see you. We're grateful that God has been pleased to bring you our way. One thing I just want to say is I'm glad to be home. Marcia and I and several others were in Mexico through the last week, and God blessed in many, many ways. Especially in several, I don't know the totals yet, but in many, many that were saved and came to the Lord Jesus Christ during the celebration of Brother Milton Martin's ministry there in Texas, in Chiapas. You can tell I'm glad to be home. Well, it's good to see you, and we're going to take a couple minutes now and just welcome each other in the Lord. Make sure you get around and shake hands and welcome our visitors, okay? Let's do that.
Amen. If you'll head back to your seats and continue standing, let's turn to hymn number 451. Hymn number 451. We're going to sing about that old account. Praise the Lord, that old account was settled long ago. Let's sing it out on the first.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the records clear.
wash my sin away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was long and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for I washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago.
Really pay attention to the words on that third verse. Really pay attention on the third.
When at the judgment bar I stand before my king, and he the book will open, he cannot find a thing. Then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had it settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago.
If you're not saved this morning, you've never been saved before, you don't understand what that means, you have an account out there for sin. And when you do pass away, when you pass from this earth, and you get there before the judgment, your name is going to be there with a list of things you've done. But if you have been saved today, you get up there, there's no list. All my sins have been wiped away, covered by the blood. And praise the Lord. Let's sing it out on the last.
Oh, sinner, seek the Lord. Repent of all your sins. For thus he hath commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you won't regret it. Settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago.
Praise the Lord, he settled that account for us long ago. You may be seated. Long journey down. All right, let's grab your hymnals yet again. Stand with me, please, and turn to hymn number 317. Hymn number 317. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. From sin defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when.
Sing it out on the last.
Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for singing.
Amen. Well, before Brother Curtis comes to give us the announcements for the day, our young people, many of you I'm sure already know, will be leaving for youth camp tomorrow. And they'll be going to Southland Christian Camp is what it's called. Okay. But anyways, they'll be going there. Southland Christian Camp tomorrow. We'll be there all week. And, of course, as always, we want a covenant to pray for them while they're gone. And I had a father come to me last Sunday, I believe it was, and asked if it would be possible to ask people, or at least just put it out there to you, that we might add to our prayers a time of fasting as well. This particular parent is covenanted. He's going to fast all week for camp. And I told him, I says, well, we will put it out to folks, because if you would seek to do that, it's between you and God. And it may be you cannot fast for the week like he is due to medical conditions or medications or some other reason. But you could maybe take a meal a day and skip that and give the time to prayer. It may be in some fashion or other God would lay on your heart a way that you can consecrate in a special way a time of prayer for the young people this week. And of course, not only the young people, but the preachers that will be delivering the Word of God, for all the counselors that will be going with them, and the counselors from the camp as well. Well, as we have done in years past, we have prepared some, isn't that nice I can say we? The staff and has prepared these cards, and we have a stack of them this year. And usually we'll have maybe two or three of each. Well, they've got at least that many. I'm going to ask, I guess, Nathan and Eric are going to help us this morning. What I'd ask you to do is, if you're willing to make that commitment to pray for the young people in general, but also for the young person that you get a card for, then you raise your hand, because you no need to take a card if you're not going to covenant to pray, right? So you covenant to pray, and they will give you a card, and as they do that, and before you do that, fellas, we're going to pray about it. If there's extras after, then you can take a second card as well. But let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much that we can send our youth to a fine Christian camp next week. We're grateful for those that have been preparing, for our staff, those that are going, that will be part of what's going on, for the staff there at Southland, that you'd prepare the preacher, prepare every person on the staff for this week. I'm asking you, Father, to even today begin to break up the fallow ground, the tender hearts of our young people and all the young people that will be present. And Father, I'm asking you that you might help us on this end to consecrate that time to truly pray for these young folks, specifically for the cards that we'll receive, but in general for all the young people that will be at camp this week. I'm praying, Father, that there'll be eternal differences made in lives this week, that there'll be changes that will be remembered for the rest of their lives. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please raise your hand if you're willing to take at least a card. Lots of hands up. And if there's, as they hand all those out, and if there's others, then you can get a second card. Some folks like to pray for more than one. Amen. Thank you. Good group out this morning. We're so glad to have everybody that's here with us today. It's a special pleasure, I know, for Metropolitan that Miss Margie Dominey is able to be in church this morning. She spent a good part of the week in the hospital, and here today feeling better. So we're grateful for God's mercy there. Almost drank out of your water, brother. I'll leave something here for you to spill. Okay. Fellas, when you get through the first time, there's folks here up here too that would like. Up here in the orchestra. Okay, looks like they still have some cards. If you'd be willing to take a second one, please raise your hand. They've still got some cards left. Anybody up here want a second one before they leave you? Thank you for your patience. This is important, folks. I have two daughters that are married to two young fellows. They met at camp, so just keep that in mind as you're sending your kids off to camp. Two daughters that married two brothers. And I don't regret it to this day. I know their daddy. That's the problem. Amen. God was pleased to deliver the bondage of my soul to at a family camp to the ministry. I knew God was wanting me to go into ministry, and I battled and battled. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, what ifs, and all those what ifs. And God was pleased that week when get aside, leave the cares and all the junk of the world behind for a few days, and He showed me that He could take care of me in the ministry as well as anywhere else. And of course, where's the best place to be? Right in the will of God. And as you can tell by looking at me, God has cared well for me over these last 25 years. All right, did we get all those handed out? It looks like it. Brother Curtis, you come.
Well, gentlemen, if y'all take your place, we'll get ready to take this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. There's a couple of them that did not make the bulletin this week. The ladies' ensemble at 4:45 and choir practice at 5:15 today. So must be doing something extra special, getting ready to buy that big bus and go on tour or something of that nature. I don't know. We're going to have missionary Brother Saul Garcia tonight. Y'all please come back and hear him. And obviously, as this preacher said, I cannot emphasize it enough. Please be in prayer for us as we go on the traveling there, while we're there, traveling back, and just that the Lord will just show up there. And just please be in prayer with that. And just covered your prayers very much for that much. The people who's keeping up our Bible reading, congratulations. We have a good showing on that. We've had 47 out of 72 this month. So that's a good showing on that. Ladies' Fellowship on the 17th. Pictures for the directory. There's a sign-up sheet in the back to be blocked off for the day of the 21st. I'm just going to set it up as a appointment type of a day. Come and get your picture taken if you need a retake or new members possibly. We've got some folks graduating. Got two of them already out of the way and got one more still to go, Miss Rachel. So she'll be graduating this next week here. The college and career will be going tubing. Please pray for them. We got some new contact information. And our corner bookstore is now open. Our courteous and friendly, well-trained staff could possibly use a little courteous and friendly and well-trained help. So if you'd like to help the bookstore, see Brother Andrew. With that being said, let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the rain you've provided for us today, Lord. And thank you for the good folks that we have here today. Lord, it's nice that we had a full crowd upstairs. And thank you so much for that, Lord. Right now we're asking you to bit this offering about to receive, bit the gift and the giver. Please be with Brother Wayne as he comes and delivers your message through him, Lord. And, Lord, give him the strength that he needs and the voice that he needs and give him the word that you need and hide him behind the cross. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. In your name, amen.
I have my son, Scott, and my daughter-in-law, Tamara, and they're going to sing with me this morning.
If my heart is overwhelmed, when I cannot hear your voice, I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands and pray, I will believe. And I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high, valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I am yours. I am forever yours. When my heart is filled with hope, and every promise comes my way, when I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, staying humble for you, God, staying humble at your feet, I will lift these hands in praise, I will believe. And I remind myself of all that you've done, when the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high, valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours, and I am yours, and I am yours, and all my days, Jesus, I am yours.
Thank you very much. I would ask you to be in prayer for those that are still be making their way home from Mexico over the next couple days. Tom Gaudet will be flying in tomorrow, and the Martins will be arriving on Tuesday. Do pray for them. Appreciate all that God's been pleased to do there in Mexico this last week. And, of course, we'll have more to share with that at a later time. Before I left, I mentioned Brother Hudson that we'd be getting in on Saturday and didn't know what he had going on today. And then whether he'd be willing to preach for this morning, because we were getting in again yesterday. But he said, well, I'm supposed to preach that next week up in Dumas. And I said, well, then forget it. No, I'll preach. It's about a preacher. He's always willing to preach. And I appreciate that prayer very, very much. It's always a blessing to have Brother Hudson preach for us. And you pray for him, though. He'll be preaching tomorrow night at Camp Masterson outside of Dumas, Texas. And they always, the Lord blesses in that camp every year as well with a number of salvations. And I'm looking forward to God will once again do that this year. Brother Hudson will be at least preaching tomorrow night, maybe other nights, but he will also be teaching each day. So please keep them in prayer as they leave out this afternoon to make their way to the panhandle. So, Brother Hudson, you come preach for us.
Thank you, Brother Jim. You can take your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter number 24. When you find it, I know you can't do it till you find it, but when you find it, you can stand. I had another message prepared for today, but as I begin to look at this passage, God really put it on my heart for us. When you come to this passage in Joshua 24, really in 23 and 24, Joshua has gathered the whole camp of Israel, the elders, the priests, the leaders. They are now in the promised land. They haven't really achieved all that God intended for them to do. But Joshua is at the end of his ministry and his leadership. I said here a while back that Joshua, this book of Joshua, is one of the most victorious books in the Bible. Joshua never lost a battle. Somebody said, well, what about Ai? He didn't lose that battle. There was a sin in the camp that lost the battle before it was over. When he had dealt with that sin, he won that battle. And so he never lost a battle. But he's at the end of his rope. And now he calls a nation. I was thinking about how the emphasis of ministry is on this thought that we are at a turning point. We're at a crossroads. What you do here today will affect what you'll be in days, months, years to come. Whether you'll give God allegiance, whether you'll let the Word of God do its work in your heart, whether you'll obey the Holy Ghost of God, will affect you, your family, and maybe eternities in days to come. What you're doing right now. You're at the turning point. I was thinking about these ministries. Billy Graham's ministry is called the Hour of Decision. David Jeremiah says it's your greatest turning point. Chuck Swindoll says that it is the insight for living. I want to say, we're not gathered here today to hear from people. And it doesn't matter whose name is standing behind this desk. But we're here to receive truth out of the Word of God, written by God Himself. And it becomes our turning point, our insight, our hour of decision. I'm only going to read one verse. Joshua has rehearsed the blessings and the shortcomings of Israel in these two chapters. And he sums up down in chapter 24, verse number 15, and says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm calling us to a point of decision, and only you can make it. But let me assure you, you will make it this hour. You'll make that decision, and you'll be accountable for what you have decided. Down in chapter 24, verse number 20, he said, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Let me say to us as a congregation that this is not happenstance and we're not just here for a few moments, but this is the turning point. And what you do with God this hour becomes a witness against yourself. What you do this hour it will affect everything you do from here on out. So let's pray. Brother Jim, would you lead us, please, as we pray? Amen. You can be seated. I wonder how many here still like those old Western stories. I do. I was raised on Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, Hopalong Cassidy and Red Rider, and I still like them. I like those Westerns. I was reading recently about a fellow named George Wilson. He was a train robber who was captured and convicted and was on death row for his crime. And the governor of his state offered a pardon. Somebody interceded for George Wilson, and he offered a pardon to George Wilson. George Wilson did an unusual thing. He refused the pardon. And the law did not know what to do with that. And so it went from court to court and was appealed and retried and finally got to the Supreme Court of the United States. In the 1800s, John Marshall was the Supreme Court justice who made the ruling. And here's what he ruled. He said a pardon is not a pardon until it is accepted. A pardon is not a pardon until it is accepted. That is still the law of the land. They handed that law down that day, and George Wilson was hanged, as he had been so sentenced to do, because he refused the pardon. The pardon was no pardon because he refused it. Now that has little to do with what we've already talked about, except this. I said I wanted to read a verse, but I only want to preach on one little phrase. Out of this verse, there's a phrase that says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. In light of that, I want to say we've all been convicted. For by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. Now death is passed on all men, for that all have sinned. All has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Over in Ecclesiastes, says there's in 7, chapter 10, he says there's not a righteous man on the face of the earth. Not one just man. He said over in Jeremiah that the heart of a man is desperately wicked. And who can know? That describes every one of us. We've all been convicted in the court of God himself. Secondly, because of that conviction, we all have a sentence of condemnation. We are condemned to die. Over in that verse it said, by one man sinning of the world. Now death by sin, and death is passed on all men. It's not good men and bad men. It's not some and not others. Every one of us are condemned with the sentence of death. He said over in 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. And down in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he said, it is appointed unto man once to die, after death the judgment. But here's the good news. We have been convicted and we are condemned. But the difference between a lost man and a saved man is some of us have accepted our pardon. We do have a pardon. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. And that verse in 6:23 said the wages of sin is death, but the next phrase says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The good news of the gospel is that God has offered a pardon and extends a pardon to every one of us here today. But remember this, if you have refused the pardon, if you've never received the pardon, that pardon is not a pardon until you accept it. So, I want to talk about this little phrase, choose you this day whom you will serve. I've only got three little points. The first one is, you must make a choice. See, that verse says, choose you. You choose. Nobody else can choose for you. You know, Grandma might have been the greatest Christian ever lived, but Grandma can't make your choice. You may have come out of a family of Christians that goes back, and you can trace a lineage, but that doesn't make your choice. Somebody said, well, I joined the church. I've been baptized. I paid some tithes. I did this. None of that makes your choice. He said, choose you this day. So, I wanted to talk about that choice. These Israelites, if you look at this book of Joshua just a minute, in verse number 5 of chapter 1, the Bible says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee. Down in verse number 9 he says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And if you read your Bible, Joshua took a group of slaves with no abilities out into a wilderness, wandered, with them for 40 years until God was ready to take them into the promised land. And when he did it, the first thing they faced was the greatest weapon that the world had to offer, the city of Jericho, impenetrable, undefeatable. But God melted the walls, and they marched in as victors. And from there, it's down through the land of Israel. There's Eglon and all of those cities, Joshua never looked back. And the people of Israel have been victorious as they go down through that land. But down in chapter 23, in verse 10, the Bible said, here's how you did it. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Somebody said, well, we're not there. We don't have that promise that they had. You read over there in chapter number 24, he's going to say, I sent a hornet before you. You didn't have to chase them. He chased them for you. Here's where we live. As Christians, I know my emphasis is on being saved, but let me say, you're Christian, you're at the turning point too. See, these people had all the promises, and they had all the power, but if you read these verses, they begin to falter and fail, and even before Joshua's out of here, they're already failing in their abilities over in chapter 18 of this book of Joshua. The Bible says in verse number 3 that how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God your father hath given you? You can read 16, 17, 18 and see their failures. I'm not going to go there for time's sake. And then you can come back to this passage, and now they're standing at the crossroads, and the Bible says in verse number 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of 23, he gives them the secrets. He said, if you'll just cling to the word of God in verse 6, and if you'll separate yourself from the world in verse 7, and if you'll love the Lord with all your heart, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11 of chapter 23, he said, I'm going to give you everything I promised you. You know what I read in the New Testament? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My God is able to supply my every need, and I am a co-laborer with God himself, and there's victory promised to every one of us. You don't have to fail as a Christian. You don't have to be backslidden and cold. You don't have to leave those areas of your life crumbling and chaos. You can walk victoriously for the Lord. That is the turning point. If you choose. If you make that choice. So I'm going to skip all that. I've already given you the consequence of a wrong choice. He said, I'll turn and do you hurt after I've done you good. You either serve God and know his blessing, or you don't serve God, you'll know some trouble. That's the way it is. So he says that over in Deuteronomy, chapter number 30, he said, I call heaven and earth, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you, listen to this, life and death and blessing and cursing. You got a choice of life or death. You got a choice of blessing or cursing. He said, choose life that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, and so on. God does a lot of things for us. He created us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. He created us. He protects us. He provides for us. He educates us and enlightens us. And he loves us and shows compassion toward us and extends mercy to us. But there's one thing that God will not do for us. He won't make your choice for you. You're going to have to choose you this day. You choose whether you serve God or not. He's not going to pick you up by the hair of the head and set you over there in somebody's church and put you to work preaching the gospel or being a witness or living a lie. He's not going to do that. You choose. Choose you this day. He bought you. He brought you. He's given you this time, this opportunity. But now, you make the choice. And the verse said you can choose life or death. You can choose blessing or cursing. You can choose Christ or you can choose judgment. You can choose heaven or you can choose hell. You can choose God in your life, or you can choose the chaos of this world in your life. Over in Ezekiel, I'm just skipping around. There's some verses I got to keep moving, or we won't even get there. Ezekiel chapter 18, one of the great chapters of the Bible, and two times in Ezekiel chapter 4 and Ezekiel chapter 20 says this: the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You ought to write that down on the page of your heart. You don't sin against God and get away with it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die every time. That's God's promise out of his book. The wages of sin is death. So, that's it. That two times he said that down. Then down in 21 here he makes this note. But if. Brother Larry, you remember those if-then statements? Back over Fortran days we had that little loop that you did. If this happens and this happens and this, then this is always going to happen. Here's God's if-then statement. If the wicked will turn from his sins that he hath committed and keep my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, then he shall surely live and not die. Let me say, I don't have time to run the scriptures, but there's not one place in this Bible that God puts that judgment on man that he does not offer the grace of God to go with it. And there's grace. You've got a choice. Here's grace. The devil can't make you do what you choose not to do. Here's grace. You can choose God and live. So he's going to say that several times in this chapter. Then down in verse number 30 here, this is not grace. This is mercy and love now. Down in verse 30 he says, "And repent and turn yourselves from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away your transgressions whereby you have transgressed. Make you a new heart, a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Whomsoever turn yourself will live ye." Okay? So the choice is yours. The ball, as they say, is in your court right now. I've already given you enough Bible that you understand some things. And so the choice is yours. And not only is the choice yours, but But can you see the Holy Ghost of God out of that passage crying? He, this morning, I believe, in the faith. In the sin that has pervaded our generation, I hear that Holy Ghost of God crying, "Turn ye! Turn ye! Why will you die?" It's the cry of a loving, compassionate God who sees the end and tries to wave the flag and saying, "Come over here. There's life over here. There's mercy over here. I've got a pardon for you over here." Amen. But it's your choice. Let me say secondly, not only do you have a choice, but your choice is a person. Look at the verse. He said, "Choose you this day whom?" Not what. It's not religion. It's not good works. It's not some thing that I can do. It's not credentials and externals. But it's a person. He said, "Choose whom?" And there's just one person. John stood on the bank of Jordan and pointed and said, "Behold, thee." T-H-E, thee. He could have said, "The one and only. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." You understand who he is talking to? He was talking to those Jews that had offered thousands and hundreds of sacrifices that would not take away sin. But now he turns to say, "Here is the Lamb of God. Here is the only Lamb of God. Here is the sacrifice that satisfies God. Here is the Savior who can take away sin." If I could say it any better than he said it, I'd say it this morning. The best I can do is stand with John and say, "There he is. There he is on the cross. There he is in heaven. There he is making intercession at the right hand of the..." There he is pouring that blood on the mercy seat. There he is weeping over your sin. There he is crying, "Come over here. I got a pardon for you over here. Make a choice." Over there in John chapter 1, the Bible said that he came into his own, and his own received him not. But get it, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, it's not joining, it's not baptized, it's not doing, it's a him. Over in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." You can tell your Islamic friend, you can tell your Mormon friend, you can tell your idol-worshiping friend, that it takes the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. You must be saved his way. I don't have time to run through all the I ams. I was going to, but I don't have time for all those I ams. He said, I am the door. I am the light. He said, I am. Finally he said, "The truth, the life." Listen, you get none other name. I love that. I love that verse. And Paul said, I know whom. Choose you this day. Whom. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Here's where we are. We're living in a generation that says, I've always believed in Jesus. That's not the belief I'm talking about. That's not the belief Paul's talking about. It's not belief about Jesus, it's belief in all Jesus. Sense to know where they, you didn't even know where you was going. You got on there, did you? Didn't know how far you was going to fly. Didn't know what direction was which. What they did is they just trusted and put their whole trust in that plane. And somehow, by the miracle of aeronautic law, they overcame the law of gravity and got up off those hills of South Mexico and got in the air and came to Dallas. They trusted. You say, well, I just don't understand how Jesus dying on the cross could save me. You better quit trying to understand it. You better start trusting it. You better put your whole heart into it. You better believe it with all your heart, because it's your only hope. Paul said, I know. If there's one man in the Bible that I would say had a knowledge, it'd be Paul the Apostle. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I believe that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Here's the difference in you and me and some of us and him. Paul made a commitment that he kept. Paul made a wholehearted commitment. It's not just joining church for an hour a week. It's not just going through baptismal waters one time and that's salvation. No, it's an everyday thing. It is a life change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's no longer his own. He's now bought with a price. I got to puzzling. He said, which I committed unto him against that day. Paul, what day are you talking about? That day. I believe if he was in our vernacular today, he'd say, well, one of these days, Brother Wayne, we're going to lay this old body down and they'll roll that casket up here. And it'll sit right here. Somebody will come by and say, man, Brother Wayne, don't he look natural? No, he don't look natural. He looks dead. He's not even there anymore. That day. That day is hanging over our head right now. Let me just jump to the next point. I don't have time. I could say much more about the one choice of being a person. I'd like to say more. See, all through the Bible, there's the rich man and Lazarus. That rich man chose pleasure of sin. When he cried out to Abraham, Abraham said, son, remember you were comforted there. But now Lazarus is being comforted. And I'm not taking that away from him. You can choose the pleasure of sin for a season. It'll all dry up and fester and blow away on you one day. Then there's that rich fool. You know, his statement was, I have, I can, I will say to my soul. And about that time, God interrupted and said, thou fool. If you think all you are is who you are, thou fool. If you think life is about what you are, thou fool. If you think you own your soul, thou fool. If you think you're going to give God any direction about your life, thou fool. This night, thy soul will be required of thee. See, he wasn't out after the pleasures. He was out after him, what he wanted. Then there's a fellow over there in Mark chapter 10 that always breaks my heart. The Bible says in about 23 of 10 of Mark that Jesus saw him, and when he saw him, he loved him. Let me say this to you. You may be as far from God as the North Pole from the South Pole this morning. But God has looked on you and he's loved you. He loved you enough to send his son to the cross for you. Hey, Jesus loved you and I enough to become sin for you. The Bible said that he looked on him and he loved him. But that young man went away sorrowing, because he had great possessions. Boy, I know there's none of us have any real great possessions. But don't we hang on to what little we got? Isn't that the most, we live like we're never going to turn it loose. Somebody said you work your fingers to the bone. When you get three, what do you got? Bony fingers. You're going to turn it loose. You're not taking a U-Haul to the behind the hearse. You're going to turn it all loose. He said, choose you this day. All you have, right? Somebody said, I got plenty of time. Some of you guys are saying, I got plenty of time. You don't have plenty of time. I could point you to some folks. I had a neighbor right across the street from us. One night he drank a beer or two and drove a car up an incline and jumped 180 feet. When he hit the ground, it was over. You know what? He was a senior in high school. You don't have plenty of time. What you have is right now. The Bible said, James chapter 4, what is your life? It's even a vapor, appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. Hey, friend, you saying I'm going out there and do this, that, the other. He said, you better say by the grace of God, in the will of God, if God pleases. You ever notice our pastor keeps referring to that phrase, it pleased God? How it pleased God to do this, that, or the other? Could I say if it doesn't please God, we're not doing any of it? You have right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2 says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. I don't have time to go through verses. Psalm 95, Hebrews 13, 7, Hebrews 13, 15. Three times God says, harden not your heart, as they did in the day of provocation. I want to say to you, you've heard messages. I know this is a very simple message. I know it's a very short. Well, you may not think it's short, but I think it's short. I've tried to be as brief as possible. I've tried to be as clear as possible. You can get a lot more theological than I've got this morning. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. There's folks over there in the funeral home this morning that said, next week, next month, next year, I'm going to do it. You don't have that. You have right now. He said, now is the exception. Now's over before we get through saying. And speaking of the funeral home, there's flowers in the funeral home already this morning. There's gas in the hearse already this morning to haul somebody. It might be somebody in this congregation, but somebody in somebody's congregation that will refuse God's pardon. I understood that I was a sinner. I understood that I was condemned to die. I understood that God sent His Son to the cross of Calvary for my sin and offered me a full pardon forever in heaven with Him. You wouldn't be able to hold me back. I'd run down that aisle if I needed to. I'd get in that aisle and get it settled before I left this place. R.G. Lee preached that great message on Payday Someday, and he told the story of Tony Jo Henry. Tony Jo Henry was a little girl in his church in New Orleans, a beautiful little girl. I thought, as I was looking at that message this week, I thought about some of you. Some of you girls, some of you boys, who have been raised in church and have been given talents and abilities because of that. And now you're right on the verge of stepping off. Man, I'm praying, Miss Teresa, that something happens with your bunch like happened with our bunch at Southland. I remember that morning, 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, Brother Jim, and the vans were broke down. We didn't have cell phones. Half of our congregation was down there on the parking lot. They were breathing fire about irresponsible youth pastor, take our kids off up there, can't get them home. Come find out we had 2 vans broke down. They piled everybody in one van, came rolling in somewhere around 3 in the morning. And those kids got off that van with so much fire in their souls that they quenched all that cold water of hell that was already on the parking lot. I'm praying y'all get a big dose of that, because this may be your last opportunity. This may be the last message somebody hears. He said, choose you this day. Paul said, now, right now, is the accepted time. I beg you with all my heart. God said it 3 times. Harden not your heart. Melt down. Get off the stool of pride. Get humble before God. Hey, these kids need somebody that's real with God to pray for them. They don't need somebody with a picture in their pocket. They need somebody that'll get a hold of the throne of God. If you do that, you're going to have to get right with God. You're going to have to get your decision made about Him. Let's stand, heads are bowed. I'll just stop. I'm not through, but I'll stop. Tony Jo Henry wound up. R.G. Lee said the last time he saw her, her head was shaved. She was barefooted in those white pajamas. The electric chair was waiting on her. And she wept and cried and said, Brother Lee, I knew God was in charge, but I just tried to steal one more day from Him. Better remember it and choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Father, I pray, oh God, that you've had your way here today. Oh, Lord. Oh, we're not worthy to even call your name. We're not worthy to stand before you. We're not worthy to open your book. We're not worthy to plead the blood of Jesus. But, oh, God, I pray that you'd work and stirring hearts. I pray you'd help us to be real. I pray you'd help us to choose right now and know that we give a consequence of the witness of our own selves to you for how we choose. Please have your way. Please move and work in this congregation this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul.
Hymn 153.
Colton can sing it without you. If you need to come and pray, come on. If you know somebody that needs some help, you help them. Pray for them right now.
Come on. All to Jesus I surrender.
Don't wait on somebody else.
To him I freely
give. Let him have his way with you right now.
I and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all.
Can you say, I know whom I have believed? I've committed it all to him. I'm ready for that day. Can you say it? If you can, I invite you to come.
My blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
We hide behind those songs, don't we? You know, you can stand there. You don't have to come down here. But you've made a decision. You've chosen. One way or the other way, you've chosen this morning. And that verse 22 says you'll be a witness against yourself in how you chose. Let me ask you this. You ready to answer to God with the decision you've made in this hour about the Word of God? The work of God, the Holy Ghost of God. Are you ready to answer God with it? I urge you. I'm going to ask Colton just not sing. We're going to play. I want to bow our heads. And I just urge you to do business with God right now. I'm not asking for hands. I want your heart. I want your heart to be right with God. These young people, eternity depends on you being right with God.